In Acts chapter 14, let's read again verses 1 through 7. It came to pass in Iconium. All right, how did they get to Iconium? They shook off the dust of their feet in Antioch of Pisidia because that was it. They weren't favorable to the gospel anymore. They did what the Lord told them to do in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. If they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet, keep on going. They went to Iconium. And they went both together. That'd be Barnabas and Paul, into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. And you may be asking yourself the question, why are we in this text a second time? Well, at this missions conference that we just attended, the missions conference has lots of preachers and lots of preaching. Two preachers every morning, two preachers every evening. And we were all assigned text. This was my assignment. They're going through all three missionary journeys. And so Jake has already heard this. So I say that for his benefit. I actually went through and taught you some things about it and helping to prepare for what to preach, and then while we were there, got what to preach. And frankly, it's something that I think is very beneficial for us, and it's also the only thing I had time to get ready for you tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for these folks. God, I love our church. We go away and have the opportunity to preach in other churches and rub elbows with other preachers and all those things that are so good. As we heard during our own conference, that's iron that sharpens iron, and it's good. And Father, when I'm helped, our folks are helped, but this is where I love to be. As one of the preachers that was with us this weekend said, I'm sure your pastor loves to be here more than anywhere else, and he is absolutely right. Father, feed us well tonight with this passage of Scripture, and help us to be edified by the things that we hear. And may you be glorified in all of it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now notice in the context here, coming from Acts chapter 13, notice these things. Look at verse 44 in Acts chapter 13. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. Why? To hear what Paul and Barnabas preach. Acts 13:44. What did they come there to do? No, they didn't come to hear Paul and Barnabas preach. What did they come to hear? The Word of God. The Word of God. Then in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary what? That the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. So what did they preach? They preached the Word of God. Then notice in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified Paul and Barnabas. No, the Word of the Lord, and as many as were into eternal life believed. Then notice again in verse 49, the Word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So you see that emphasis on the Word of God coming down through the end of verse 13. Now they're leaving Antioch of Pisidia and they're heading into Iconium. And guess what? Verse 3 of the text we just read, Acts chapter 14, 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto what? The Word of His grace. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Listen, the emphasis in the book of Acts is on the Word of God. And we could go through and look at some other passages of Scripture, and you read this and you see I'm reading a book about the Acts of the Apostles, and if you're not careful, what you end up doing is you end up attributing a lot of what happens in the book of Acts to the Apostles, because it's called the Acts of the Apostles. But it's not about the Apostles. It's about the Word of God. It's about the Word of His grace and what they were able to do with the Word of His grace. That's the emphasis. And so when you read in the first verse here, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together. into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake. We talked about this last week, that the pattern that Jesus Christ establishes, what you do together. Two people of the 12 disciples went out. When the 70 were chosen in Luke chapter 10, they went out by twos. May I tell you something? When God blesses you with a helper, it's not because of you. The helpers are for the word of His grace. You know, when I think about our church, and I realize that many years ago, after really we had just gotten started, and I'm preaching on the radio, and Randy's driving around and hears the radio broadcast and then comes to church, he doesn't have any idea, and I don't have any idea, that he's going to be the helper that he is to us today as an associate pastor. But God did. And if I ever get the idea, or you ever get the idea, that he's here to help me, as if he's my helper, then we have the wrong idea of what we're both doing here. We're here to help each other, both together, and Tony, both together. Why? For the word of his grace. You say, well, Tony was brought in to be the youth pastor. Tony was brought in to be a preacher of the word of his grace and to help this ministry with the word of his grace. There are a lot of youth pastors that get a bunch of kids together and entertain them, and they call that a youth ministry. And if they can get a whole bunch of them over here on a Friday night to eat popcorn and watch a movie, that's a successful youth ministry. I think a successful youth ministry is one that imparts the word of his grace into those that hear the Bible preached. That's what we're here for. You have to understand, too, that there are people in the ministry that have commanding personalities. Your pastor is not one of those, but there are people that have commanding personalities, and there are other people who want to help them because of their personalities. That's not the right reason to join yourself with a man in the ministry. God puts those things together. What for? For the word of his grace. That's what we're here for. And I'm thankful for this passage of Scripture because it constantly reminds us that when we go both together into that neighborhood for the word of his grace, when we go both together in this pulpit because of the word of his grace, when we go both together in a Sunday school class, and we do go by twos, it's for the word of his grace. And that's the emphasis. And I thank the Lord that when we went through Bible clubs for Wednesday night and found that that's going to work better than what we were doing with master clubs, and nothing against master clubs, it just doesn't fit the profile of what's going on in this church as well as what we're doing now. I think, you know what that's for? That's for the word of his grace. And I thank God for all the helpers in this church that are helping each other in Sunday school classes and in ministries and in preaching and in the other capacities here, because it really is the pattern of God, and it is for the word of God. But that's not all. Notice they spake, and what happened in verse 1, a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. You know, there are some fields where there are great multitudes being saved. It's an amazing thing. Right now, understand that there's a work being done in Ecuador that is of revival proportion. Many, many people are being saved, and many churches are being planted. And these are the grandchildren of missionaries that were in Mexico. These are missionaries that got trained in Mexico. They didn't come out of the United States. They went down to Ecuador, and God is blessing in Ecuador the way he was in Mexico. May I tell you something? The results are due to the word of his grace. You say, well, that's because, oh, so-and-so is a great missionary and he went to a certain field. No, it's because of what God did with his Bible. Because if it's always going to be a great multitude, then you, and somebody goes to a field like Moldova or goes to a field like Romania and there's not a great multitude of people being saved, you think, well, that must be a bummer missionary. And that's not true. It is the fruit that's being borne by the word of God in that soil, and not all soil is the same. And the results are not attributed to the greatness of the man or men and women that are involved in that work. The results are attributed to what God said he would do with his word. My word shall not return unto me void. When I think about that, it takes all the pressure off of what we're getting ready to do when we sow the seed of the Word of God. Anytime we go to a restaurant and give a tract to somebody, or like we did with the receptionist at the hotel, or like we did with the guys that were laying carpet on our floor, or like we're going to do with the people that are in that neighborhood right there, listen, If there are some results, you know what they came from? The word of His grace. But that's not all. Look with me in verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against whom? The brethren. The brethren. I'm going to get you, I want you to understand something. You know this already. If you've tried to witness to a family member that was not receptive to the gospel, if you've tried to witness to a co-worker or a friend that was not receptive to the gospel, and they attacked the messenger, the temptation is to take that personally. Don't take it personally. Why? Because the opposition is about the word of His grace. That's what the opposition is over. They're taking it out on you, but they're really mad at God. We heard a sermon today about conflict and Cain and Abel. That's your first big conflict in the Bible. Who died, God or Abel? Who was Cain mad at, God or Abel? Well, he was ultimately mad at God, right? Because his deeds were evil, but he took it out on Abel. They're going to take it out on you, but you're not the cause of the opposition. Y'all could get along fine if it hadn't been for that Bible. And y'all did get along fine until the Bible came up. So even though they made their minds evil affected against the brethren, the opposition was because they were preaching the Word of God. And we always have to remember that. Don't make it personal. Don't take it personally. Many of you know that after I first heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and, to my knowledge, got saved as a teenager, I then went to college, and while I was in college, was going to a Southern Baptist church, and there was a lot of emphasis on telling other people about Jesus Christ. Man, I just thought, I have got to tell my dad. But I had a relationship with my father like some of you had relationships with your father. This was not the kind of... We weren't chums. We weren't pals. He never tried to be my friend. He was my dad. And I had a great deal of respect for him, and so it was very difficult for me to have any kind of conversation like this with him. So I wrote him a letter. And my dad was drinking heavily back in those days, and he got drunk and walked around the house for 7 days, crying that he'd lost his son, because that came out of a Baptist church, and we were all raised Catholic. And it was bad, I'm telling you. He wouldn't go to work, he wouldn't shave, and he always went to work, and he always shaved. It was just a bad deal. And I got scared, so I went down to talk to him. And when I saw what that did, the opposition, I quit talking about Jesus Christ. Why? I took it personally. And I thank God many years later that Malcolm Dickman was used by God to reopen that door with my father. And after that, at least monthly, he and I would sit down and talk about the Bible because I realized it wasn't about me. And it can never be about us. Now, you can make yourself a nuisance. You know, you don't have to kick sand in people's eyes. All right, and be hateful and mean-spirited and make it about you. Be nice. But get to the point. Notice another thing. In verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. You probably already guessed. The boldness is for the sake of the Word of God. You see, you've heard a lot of different preachers. Any of y'all that have been here for any period of time, we've had Rick DeMichael and David Peacock and Tim Habman and John Marshall and Matt around Missions Conference. We've had some people, and Harley Keck has been here, and Joel Logan's been here, and Brent Logan's been here, and Adam Thompson's been here, and James Hoffmeister's. And maybe tell you something, all those men have different personalities. And among those men, you have heard some that are naturally bold. And you get the idea sometimes, well, now, listen, if I had his personality, I know I could do this, but with my personality, there ain't no way. Boldness is not a matter of personality. Not this. This boldness, you know how I know that? Because you know that Paul was a strong character to go around and preach where he did and the way that he did and stand up to the opposition that he stood up to. But what did he tell the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 when he was discussing with them the whole armor of God? He got to the seventh thing and he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. And for me, why? For boldness. For boldness. He's telling you there is a supernatural work of God in the life of a saint when it comes down to preaching the word of this grace. He puts some boldness in there because the righteous are bold as a lion. And it comes to with this. Listen, the gospel is not something to be mealy-mouthed about, but I'll tell you what, when we have the opportunity to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be scary. While we were at the Missions Conference, we had the opportunity to hear preaching from Bob Gray. Bob Gray, I think is the second, is out of Longview, Texas, and some of you may or may not be familiar with that kind of work. And they have the history of lots of soul winning and lots of people in that church. And also, at least in my mind, in discussions that I had with other people, it was impressed upon my mind that they were very quick in dealing with souls. It was just say this, and pray this, and you're done. So we had the opportunity to hear some preaching, and also I had several conversations with Bob Gray, the pastor of the church now. And if that was the character of that ministry at some point, it's not today. Because there has to be a work of the Spirit of God in order to bring about salvation. Now listen, there's a lot of emphasis on soul winning, and here's where I'm going with this. He passed out a questionnaire to the people in the church. And the questions on there were like this. Does soul winning scare you? And if it does, what are you afraid of? That kind of thing. He said when he got back, because there's a lot of emphasis on that. Other preachers have come in on it, and they have bus routes, and they've got a lot of people on visitation. When they got the results back from that survey, it was anonymous. People didn't sign their name to it. He said, I was shocked at the answers. And what shocked him is there were so many people who were scared and who were timid and who felt pressure in soul winning. Amen. And what I'm saying is, if in a church that has the reputation for that level of soul winning, the great majority of the people are feeling that, don't you know we're feeling that? Don't you know the idea of putting your name on a piece of paper and committing to most of 7 weeks, if not all of the 7 weeks, to go over and do this kind of work is scary? I believe it is. And that's why when we've emphasized what we're talking about here, and I'm not trying to really make this about what's getting ready to happen, but it should be because it's the same kind of thing. You don't have to worry about your personality. The likelihood is you're not going to bump into somebody to talk to anyway. We're going to just be hanging tracks on doors. So if you're not afraid of a door, you're going to be pretty good. You don't have to worry about somebody slamming a door in your face or any of that. It's just hanging a track there because we're sowing the seed of the Word of God. We're not trying to be a nuisance to our neighbors. We want those who want to know to be able to see. And you may have the opportunity to be able to speak to somebody, and maybe you have memorized two or three verses, and maybe the thought is that at the moment you see them, every verse you ever memorized is going right out. You can't even sing Jesus Loves Me. And may I tell you something? That's not a matter of personality. That's nature. That's how we're built. And if there is boldness, if you see, well, my pastor seems to have boldness, let me help you here. I have to pray for that. And you got to pray for it. Why? It's not about us. It's about the word of His grace. And He wants the boldness. Listen, let me give you a picture here. Everybody in here, with the exception of some really gray-headed guys that don't even know what a computer looks like or how to turn it on, knows something about a word processor, right? All right, so in a word processor, you can put a piece of paper in the printer and you know this nice little thing on the screen and you type it up and hit print and it comes out, right? Well, let's say there's something in that letter that you really wanted to emphasize. How would you do it? You would hit Control B and make that sentence bold. And that way, when somebody got the letter, whoa, I guess they really want me to know it's going to happen on Saturday, January the 23rd at 7 o'clock. Right? That's all the boldness is about. It's not about the man or the woman. The boldness is about putting emphasis on, in bold, the Word of God. The boldness is about the Word of grace. All right. Show you something else. In verse 3. A long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I don't have to spend a lot of time on this because we heard some of it in the Bible conference. May I tell you something? The gifts are for the word of his grace. Honestly, again, somebody would say, listen, if I had his gift for gab, or I had his gift for preaching, or I had her gift for never meeting a stranger, I'm sure that I could do this. But I don't have that gift. May I tell you something? You do have a gift. Everybody, we're not going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read the entire chapter. Everybody in here has a spiritual gift. May I tell you something? We heard about it in the message on the rod. You got the gift God wants you to have. And that's the one you need. Why? Because that gift he's going to use for the word of his grace, not to draw attention to you because you have that gift. Or Paul and Barnabas because they were able to do signs and wonders. It's not about us. It's about the word of his grace. And then notice in verse 4, the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Guess what the division is about? It's about the word of his grace. And this is different than the one about the opposition in this sense. There's always going to be division where there's the word of God. Because Jesus Christ said that. He said, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I have not come to send peace, but a sword. What's the sword? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And what does it do? Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What's the next word? Dividing. If you're preaching, there's going to be division. But let me show you something else. Same thing. Part hell with Jews, and part with the apostles. You know why you're here in this church? Not because of me or Randy or Tony. Well, maybe some of you. But the word of his grace. That's what you're doing here. The follower, if the division is about that, the followers are about the word of his grace too. And you say, how do you know that? If we changed over and quit preaching the Bible and quit preaching the truth, you wouldn't stay here. And you shouldn't stay here. That's how I know it's not about us. It's about that book. The followers are following the word of his grace. And that's the way it should be. Anytime a man says, well, man, I got to be... How many people you got running in your church? Well, we got 200 over there. That's sort of like, yeah, whoa, you must be a great preacher. We only have 50. Wrong again. It's not about the man. It's about the book. It's about the book. And that's what Paul is showing us, or Luke is showing us, about what they were doing in Acts chapter 14. Then notice this. In verses 5 and 6, when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled. And I showed you last week that that fleeing was absolutely in accordance with Jesus Christ's command in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. He said, if they persecute you in this city, flee. So they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. You know what the move was for? Oh, it was to keep them from getting stoned. I don't think so, because when they got to Lystra and Derbe, he got stoned. He didn't chicken out. You know what the move was for? The move was for the word of his grace. God was ready for them to leave Iconium and go to Lystra and Derbe and preach the gospel. And you know that there are believers there because when they finish up their journey and then head back to Antioch, they go through Lystra and Derbe. And you know what they have to do when they're there? They got to ordain elders in those. There's converts there. Work got done. The word of his grace was preached. People got saved. Listen, there are times. We've got the Woods sitting here with us. And you're like, you know, wow, what a shock. We thought when they went to Moldova, they were just going to be there for the rest of their lives. So did they. You say, what's this move about? Ultimately, it's about the word of his grace. Do they have to know what all it involves? Well, if it involves going from Moldova back to Corpus Christi so they could get stoned, they probably want to go back to Moldova. It's not about that. It's about the word of his grace. Do you think that they could tell you what that involves right now? Not any more than Paul could have when he got to Lystra and Derbe and woke up with a bashed in head and a bunch of bruises. God knows. And if we always remember that there are things that happen in our lives that involve unsettling moves, if we always remember to keep in mind the word of His grace, you know what we can continue to do? We can get His work done. If we stop and we say, well, this is about, and it's something else, and then it's not good. You know, Paul and Barnabas later on have a contention over John Mark, don't they? And we had a real good sermon on that this morning, and so Barnabas goes with John and Paul goes with Silas. And it was a great sermon because that thing was contention and the contention was sharp. Therefore, you know that pride was involved. In other words, that's kind of an ugly blemish. But because Barnabas continued to make it about the Word of God and Paul continued to make it about the Word of God, they survived a bad situation and churches continued to get planted. Do you understand? There are sometimes when the move has so much of the hand of God on it, you can actually tell it. And there are sometimes when the move is a bloody thing. Let me ask you something. Make it personal if you want to right now. Are you glad I'm in Corpus Christi? May I tell you, there was a move involved in me getting here? And may I tell you, I didn't think at the time that that was such a good deal, but I think it was the best deal that ever happened to me today. And you know why? Because it put us together and we do what we do for the word of His grace. And I thank God for that move. I do. From the bottom of my heart. I think Brian and Mary Beth thank God for that move too. Because they are where I was. Do you think they had that all figured out 2 or 3 years ago? I don't think so. But I think I know somebody who did. And as long as we continue to make the emphasis on the word of His grace, all these things work perfectly. One last little thing. And there, the Bible says, they preached the gospel. Verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Where was that? Wherever He told them to go. Your neighborhood, your office, your friends. There. There. Where? There. Wherever that happens to be. What did they do? Oh, they talked about the weather and they talked about the World Series and they talked about basketball season's up again. And no. Those things come up in our normal conversations, and indeed they should. That's how you connect with people. But eventually, what does it get to? The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. And when we do get to preach about that, it's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not my thought, your thought. It's not my strange, weird, off-the-wall doctrine. You got a bunch of Christians right now that are really messed up because they can't figure out when the tribulation is going to start and when it's going to end, and they can't figure out where the rapture is in the middle of all that. And they can't figure out whether it's 7 years or it's 3.5 years. May I tell you something? What difference does it make? What difference does it make? It makes none to a lost soul on his way to hell. It's not going to help him or anything. He doesn't need to know about that. He needs to know about Jesus Christ. If we're going to get into something, let's get into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. The preaching, what's the preaching about? Well, it's the difference in our doctrine and your dispensational truth. It's not. It's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why tonight, in a somber day in our church, with Jim Holder where he is and Alan Smith where he is, you know why we're comforted tonight? You know why Irene is here tonight and she's comforted about her son, and Eddie's here tonight and he's comforted about his father? You know why that is? Because somebody preached the gospel and those men got saved. And I can guarantee you right now, they could care less about an argument over the tribulation. Care less. They're going to heaven because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what matters. That's where it is right there. It's always about the word of His grace. And let's always make sure that it's about, you know what that gift to Philippines was tonight? That's to build some buildings. No, it's not. It's for the sake of the word of His grace. Listen, if he just wanted to go over there and make a name for himself and build a few buildings, keep the money. But if they're going to train some men to keep on preaching the word of His grace till Jesus comes, then that's the thing to do. That's worth doing. Amen. Praise the Lord for the word of God. Father, we're sure thankful. I tell you, you have blessed us abundantly. We love you. Sure love this book and love what you've shown us in it. Help us, Lord. We're like these guys. Now, you've given us some sort of a gift, and we know the boldness is about the emphasis on the Word of God, and you move us around from time to time and put us in contact with people from time to time that you want us to talk to. Help us, Father, and help us remember when there's a little opposition, it's not us. It's about your Word, and sometimes people go with us, and sometimes people don't want to go with us, and that's their choice. We're going with you, and we're going with your Word, and we thank you for it. Now, we ask you to bless this great book in our lives and the life of this church for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.